They start off looking so good, talking about these palms we distribute to every worshiper every year on the Sunday before Easter, and which most of us Lutherans are too shy to wave enthusiastically in the air like we're supposed to during the opening hymn. I'm gonna make you do it now. You can do it, look at that, see? The palms we brought by for worship come as crowns, bunches of leaves attached at the stem that need to be stripped off into the individual leaves each of you receive. This task was accomplished yesterday, as it is each year, by the volunteers we affectionately refer to as the First Lutheran Strippers. People have different practices regarding what they do with their palms after worship. Some get left behind here, mostly inadvertently, I think, on the pews or stuck in the hymnal racks. Many are taken home. I was visiting Susan and Harry Klein on Friday afternoon and noticed a palm tucked behind a picture hanging in their living room. Is that from last year? I asked. Yes, Susan said, and then she and Harry started laughing. We used to have more of them before our cat, Buddy, discovered he could reach them. Apparently, Buddy spent one afternoon entertaining himself by jumping up and knocking all the branches down. The Kleins realized what happened when Buddy started strutting through the house carrying some of his loot in his mouth. Whatever happens to the palms, cat-induced or not, one thing is for sure. What once were fresh, green, pliable branches of celebration and rejoicing soon, very soon, become dried up, yellow, brown, withered, crunchy stalks. The longer time goes on, the more dried up, yellow, brown, withered, and crunchy they'll get. Every once in a while, we'll burn old palms to make ashes for Ash Wednesday. Several 33-gallon bags full and a flame will end up as just a small pile of fine black powder. Dreams going up in smoke. That's actually a pretty accurate way of describing the vibe of Palm/Passion Sunday. Yeah, it starts out fun. There's energy in the air as we open worship with a wonderful story from one of the Gospels. This year it's Matthew, about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. What a scene. Jesus riding on a donkey with a colt alongside, a large crowd spreading their cloaks and cut tree branches on the road to make a way for him. The whole multitude shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest heaven." It's enough noise and excitement and energy to cause the whole city to be in turmoil. How quickly things will change. The crowds shouting praises as Jesus passes by soon are shouting for him to be crucified. The king, welcomed with a parade, soon has nails driven through his hands and feet. The one who had cloaks strewn in his path soon is wrapped up in the cloak of death and buried in a tomb. How quickly hope withers into despair, pledges of loyalty dry up into cries of denial. Joy turns to ashes. The story we will tell together in the moments ahead is a tough one. full of betrayal, failure, power struggles, politics, fear, and human weakness. But it's also the story of our salvation, the story of a God who loves us so much that there's nothing God won't do for us, nothing God won't give up for us, nothing God won't suffer for us, even death on a cross. So, let us tell the story, but let's also remember this. The voices, our voices, which will cry out with the mob to let him be crucified, the voices which will condemn our Lord to death, well, they are the same voices that soon will share the news that Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. That is the good news that sustains us this Holy Week. We know how the story ends. Not with betrayal and denial and failure and tears, but with an empty tomb and Easter joy.